You're my satisfaction. You're my peace. You're my happy place. You're my joy. You're my everything. We give you glory and we worship you, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we worship. Spirit of the living God, our hearts are open. And I pray that you grant us today the spirit of wisdom and of revelation to know you more. That we'll be filled with the knowledge of your will as it concerns financial prosperity. And that we'll, O God, be filled with the understanding of the purpose for which you're arming us and empowering us to get wealth. We give you praise. To you be all the glory. In Jesus' precious and mighty name we have prayed. And the people of God say a very big amen. Amen. If you love Jesus, praise him. Praise him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Welcome everyone by your side. Shake their hands. Get to know who they are and let them get to know who you are. Praise the Lord. We are getting very close and we have been on a series, The Irrefutable Laws of Wealth. Everybody say The Irrefutable Laws of Wealth. And we've been working on each service that we have on one law. I think we have used two services for one particular law. Today we are going to go further. We have worked on the first law, the law of purpose and intention. We have worked on the second law, the law of financial wisdom and financial intelligence. Someone say financial wisdom and financial what? Intelligence. And then we've worked on the third law, the law of financial vision and financial planning. Right? Are you following me? All right. If you know the fourth law and you've been paying attention, what's the fourth law? We can close. Though. It's not by force. What's the fourth law? Income and multiple. Okay. So that's where the execution begins. Is that right? After all the inward work, the acquiring wisdom, all the planning, it comes down to what? Execution. Somebody say execution. So that's where the money begins to flow. It flows in the direction of value and what? Productivity. You remember? So this is very important. Somebody say income enhancement. So I told us that the wealthy are passionate and ruthlessly aggressive and unapologetically addicted to constantly earning and increasing their income. That's what I told you. You want to know whether you're ready for wealth. There's going to be a passionate ambition to constantly increase your earning capacity and increase your income. A passionate ambition to constantly. So the world is set goals, they make plans, and they drive that process with consistency and persistence. I always can tell whether a man is going to end up wealthy in life. And the truth is, people change. Someone can have a wrong mindset, be caught in a web of wrong habits, making wrong choices, and doing the wrong things for a long time. But certain times, for certain people, the pain becomes too much to bear when it's painful enough and the person decides to change. So people can change. And people change when what they believe change and their values change. So their convictions and their values, what they value change, and the way they think change, then they have changed. Get me people from the back and fill those places, please. If the ushers tell you to do something, do it fast. Always obey the ushers. They serve us. I'm touching this is because what I'm going to teach today by the Spirit of the Lord is tied to earning. And the better you earn, the more effective the two things I may touch today will become. The better you earn. So I want to get back to this fourth law. When I see a person, okay, and I want to know he's going to be wealthy, one of the things I look out for is that person's passion to earn more income. That passion, and trust me, I've worked with people for over 25 years. I've been very active as a leader. And I've been a pastor for about 23 years. Started very young. So you trust me when I tell you, one of the greatest tragedies of life is when I meet people who do not have passion because they lack value for money. They don't have passion to earn. They have passion to spend, but they don't have passion to earn. And it's an indication of a wrong mindset when it comes to money. The way they see money, how they perceive money, what money is, and who they think is responsible for providing money. I'm telling you, it's one of the greatest tragedies of life. One of the greatest tragedies of life. People who lack the drive, what it takes to earn money and to keep increasing their earnings. So every wealthy person is never comfortable and never complacent with an average income for a long period of time. He's going to change. He must increase. He must grow. And he's always thinking out of more ways and how he can make it happen. So, end income is income that comes from something you do, whether you are manufacturing and selling products, or you're offering your skills or offering services, whatever it is, you're providing solutions, whatever it is you do directly and you do it and it brings you money, that's an end income. Your efforts and your skills must be deployed strategically in such a way that the value of what you're giving out will bring you good money. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Wave your hands if you're getting me. Say, I hear. Come on, say, I hear. So, when you see people who prioritize earning, all this law of purpose and intention, I have it in my heart, I'm going to be rich, I know the purpose for which I'm going to be rich, and then you go and you acquire wisdom, you're getting to understand how money works, you acquire the intelligence so you can handle money rightly, and all those, you know, financial vision and financial planning, all of them, when you're through, which is the root is important. That's the root. It comes down to earning, execution. If you cannot earn, you're just an intelligent broke man. So, in all your doing, solve the earning thing. What did I say? Stop being fooled with all the big names you call, you the logo you have, and all the names you are CEO. Better not have a logo and. But build a brand. We're going to talk about that. It's one of the laws. I'm not speaking down on logos. You should build a brand. Your logo should be very recognizable. But what I'm trying to say is that people place more value on the wrong things. There are people that want a business and they are building a business, and what they are focused on is how the place is going to look fine, how they are going to deck the whole office, how they are going to put everything in order, branding, choose the colors, choose, and they are working so hard, paying so much money, working on the furniture, working on the different things, and they position all these things. They are doing everything else except cracking the marketing and the sales system that will bring profit to what they do. They spend time. Their priority is how the business looks, rather than what the business makes. Your focus is about profit, about earning. That's your focus. Say, I hear. Help me tell two people by your side. Say, prioritize earning. Come on, say, prioritize earning. And then we told you the fifth law, the law of financial grace and what? The blessing. And then the sixth law, the law of stewardship and what? Financial management. That's where we taught you about budgeting, right? We taught you about what? Budget. Whenever money comes, you're now earning. The blessing is prospering the works of your hands. As you work, The Lord blesses. It multiplies. The favor of God is opening doors for you. Your brand is being mentioned where your leg couldn't reach. The God is giving you divine referrals. Things are happening. You're earning more. Things are happening. Why that is happening, you must remember that as money comes with wings. What did I say? Money comes what? With wings. And money has a strong flying away ability. As it's coming, there is something else that is already calling for it to fly away. So you must learn how to clip the wings. And the way you clip the wings of money is by budgeting it before it comes. That means at its coming, there is already a budget structure that assigns where that money is going to go. As it's coming, you're sending it. The moment you let it breathe and settle down, before it finishes breathing and out, it has reduced. Now, that's what a whole lot of persons are facing. I told you that in counseling, a lot of people, I've seen young guys, young ladies who are making, I talk to them, an average income. You know, they make $400,000 a month. They make $700,000 a month. And I'm talking to them. And you see them, they are quite young and you see them around. And they are trying. And yet, they are struggling financially. This is the problem. Earning more money doesn't make you wealthy. What did I say? Earning more money may make you rich, but doesn't make you wealthy. I've always defined the difference between rich and wealthy. And the problem with a lot of people who come from poverty, who have been depraved and deprived of so many good things in life, is that their focus is being rich. So when they earn money, as we are going down into what we have today, you're going to understand it better. The difference between the rich and the wealthy, they are not the same. They are not the same. Rich people and wealthy people are not the same. So you must understand stewardship. You must understand that the money that comes into your hands is not yours. That someone owns it and you are a steward that has to give account of how you handle that money. And you must understand the accurate management of that thing. So you structure the management of your money not according to what people postulate. There are a whole lot of people that say you should do this, you should do that. No. When it comes to financial management, it is tailor-made. It's custom-made. It is supposed to be structured and managed to achieve the specific financial goals you have. So that there are certain times that somebody will tell you, if you earn money, save 20%. There are certain times you won't save 20%. You will save 65%. Because the goal you have at that moment requires that levels of saving, and so you've got to understand it, and it's flexible. You have to keep changing it. What matters is that you're structuring to achieve specific financial goals. If you're getting it, say, I hear. Give God praise if you're getting it. No, I didn't tell you to clap. I said, really give God praise. So let us go to what we now did last Sunday, which I'm going to touch again and see if we can get into another one. The seventh law, the seventh irrefutable law of financial wealth, the law of financial frugality and habitual savings. The law of financial what? Frugality and habitual savings. Let's look at those scriptures that we saw last Sunday and look at it one more time. Proverbs chapter 6 from verse 6 to 8. Proverbs 6 from verse 6 to 8. Hold your neighbor. I want you to be the voice of the prophetic to the neighbor. Read that wisdom to that neighbor and read it out loud. Want to go? Go to the ant. No. Don't hold your neighbor. Sorry. I'm sorry. That person is not a slugger. Just read. We are not talking to anybody. We are talking to the slugger. We don't pass that level. Want to go? Go to the ant, you slugger. Consider her ways and be wise. Remember, these irrefutable laws we are studying is God's wisdom edition. That's why we're seeing that we are picking most of the things we are learning from the books of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. So you're going to watch that. These are what we call the wisdom books in the Bible. Hello? All right. So consider her ways and be wise. That means if you learn the lesson that the scripture is teaching, you're going to function in wisdom. And the Bible says wisdom is profitable to direct. Wisdom brings success. Let's look at verse 7. Read with me and read out loud. Want to go? Which having no chief, overseer, or ruler. That's the first wisdom you learn. If you need someone to oversee you when it comes to this, you're not ready yet. If you need someone to instruct you, you are not ready yet. I've had some people who come to me and say, Pastor, if you can just help me. If you be commanding me, I'll be doing it. I say, you're not ready yet. When you're a child, you will need tutors and what? Guidance. When you grow up and you still need that, you're not ready yet. One of the ways you know a man is positioned for success is when he begins to do what he ought to do, what is right for him to do, without anyone instructing him. You know, that's what you call self-leadership. You must first conquer yourself before you conquer the world. You must first lead yourself before you can lead people. You must first learn to be disciplined and get yourself to do the right thing without anybody. Once you're on that path where you can start doing what you ought to do, what wisdom has taught you to do, without anybody instructing you, you're on your path to success. And it's going to be from success to success. Somebody under the sound of my voice, by the grace of the Almighty God that is with you and walking in you, I pray that your will be strengthened to do the right things and walk the right pathways in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Better receive it, oh, grace is at work. Say, my will is strengthened. Come on, say, my will is strengthened to walk the path that I must follow, to walk the path of wisdom. Is one thing to know what to do. Is another thing to have the boldness and the strength to do it. This first wisdom is that the ant doesn't need a captain. Doesn't need an overseer. Doesn't need anybody flogging and, you know, but see what it does. Verse 8. Now read. One to go. Provides her supplies in what? Summer. Have to talk about season. Somebody say season. So summer is the harvest season. And gathers her food where? Gathers her food where? In the harvest. Give me the NIV of that scripture. Yet he stores his provision in summer and gathers his food. What? At the harvest. Give me verse 9. Okay, let's leave that. Get back to verse 8. Find me the translation that uses winter. NLT. Find me the translation. Yes, NLT. That's what I'm looking for. Everybody read. Want to go. They labor what? They labor hard what? What's the next thing you need to learn? Walk early. And walk very hard, very early. Walk while it is day, because the night is coming when no one will walk. Walk in your youth when you have the fullness of energy. Don't waste your youthful age. Walk early. A whole lot of people wake up too late. When things are early, they still feel like they have time, so they waste their time. What you do when it is summertime is you labor hard. You use your youthful energy and give it all it takes. Because a time is coming in your life, you won't have all the energy of the youth. I've had a lot of people who reach out to me, not one person, not two persons, a whole lot of people during this season. Say, Pastor, things have been so hard. Business is not moving the way it's supposed to move. Pastor. And many of them, you know, when someone is talking to pastor, there are two ways. So for a pastor like me that they feel like, okay, they know that pastor understands business. Pastor is business savvy. They are looking for wisdom. But the reason they also call you is because they feel like if you just say one word, just pray, pastor, just speak, let things begin to move. And I had to talk to a whole lot of business people this season. You know, you look at what is happening, the economic climate. You look at even, it's not been so wonderful economically in the country, you know. And with what's going on with high inflation, and they're beginning to bring in, and depending on the state where you are, some states are crazier than other states. They are taxing business people almost to death. Amen. And different things are happening in Nigeria. And then the war broke out between Israel, US and Iran, okay? And then they affected the oil price, the crude price, and it drove inflation higher. The other day I heard somebody who was just talking and he was crying. He said he's not happy at all. He's not happy at all. He said he has solar, he has different things, but that his businesses have to run still on diesel because of the heavy equipment that they use on diesel generator and how much he's spending a month. He said if this thing continues the next 2 months, they have to close business. I have somebody else who told me, he said, where my family is, an apartment I put them in the city where they are, they just called me and said, please come and relocate your family to another place that they have to close, that they just, they're not breaking even anymore because of power, energy, what they are spending. They just can't. And businesses are closing. People are finding it difficult. And some people that are in some kinds of businesses were reaching me and, you know, they said, Pastor, nothing is working. I said, I had to tell the person, I said, listen, in seasons of famine, economic famine, there are things that don't become priority. The only people that spend on those things are people who are modestly rich and the wealthy. And the percentage now of those people are wilting. They are withering in Nigeria. The middle class is shrinking so fast. So fast. I said, so what you're seeing is that the normal finance that somebody would have spent in some other things that is not basic necessity, ordinarily, he's now using to deal with just basic necessity. So if he doesn't have extra income to move into some other things, the person finds it hard to invest in those kind of things or to put their money into those kind of things. So what I told her, I said, it's not devil. What you're fighting with is that the nation is in survival mode. Most of Nigerians are just surviving. The data we saw, that I was like, is this true? Of how many Nigerians that have up to 500,000 naira and above in their account. How many of you saw that? How many? Who remembers the exact figure? Not, I said not up to 1 million Nigeria or so. Not up to 1 million Nigeria has data, statistics, have up to 500,000 and above in their accounts. It's crazy. In a nation of over 230 million people, not up to 1 million Nigerian. And no matter how you tell me your money is not in the bank, come on, there is a portion that is liquid. That's a very serious issue. There's a holy quietness here today. But these are realities. Now listen. So this is what I'm going to tell you. All of you that are business people. I smiled and I said, first solution I'm going to give to you. And I'm going to talk to everybody that is into business. I said, the reason you're struggling in this season. I was telling, not just one person. I was telling them. I said, the first reason you're struggling this season is that you were not wise. You didn't act wisely and you didn't walk in wisdom. I said, because wisdom is the ability to discern. One of the things wisdom teaches you is to discern timing. That all seasons are not the same. That when you wake up in the morning and the sun rises, you expect by wisdom the sun will set. There will be an evening and there will be what? Night. That when you have summer and there is plenty and there is a windfall, you know, harvest time is a season where you do the most basic thing and you have the highest yield. You can still have a harvest like I taught you last Sunday. You can still have a harvest when it's not harvest time. But what you will need to do to have that harvest, you will have to add more. So if you're planting some crop, when that crop is in season, all you need to do is to weed the land, till the land, put it in the ground. The rains will fall, the atmospheric condition of that season which fits that particular crop, we just make it, you just come back and just see the harvest. And ordinarily, the way God has ordained creation, seed time and harvest will not cease. You plant when it is time for seed, you will have a bountiful harvest. But if you wake up when that harvest season has passed and you still want that thing, let's say it's a crop that ordinarily grows in rainy season, and then you wake up at the end of November and you want to plant, it still can work. But now you will have to get, first of all, a biotech modified seed, a seed they have modified to be able to withstand a different climatic condition. This is now a dry season, and you have to understand the amount of dollars that will be given to research to modify that seedling. So it has to be a genetically modified seed. And the kind of money, that's why whenever you get GMO seeds, they are selling it to you. It's not free. They are selling seeds that ordinarily that God gave us, that all our parents were planting for us ordinarily. They planted for free. You collect, you harvest, you remember, for free, organically. Now, once they modify it, it must be sold. Why is it sold? Because money was invested. Now, secondly, you have to create artificial irrigation. That will cost you more money. And at the end of the day, you will get a harvest, but it will cost you more to get a harvest. When you don't work early, you spend more to get the little results. When you don't work when it is time, you spend more to get a little result. Who is getting what we're saying? Who is getting what we're saying? So I said, the problem with a lot of business people is that they don't expect that there's going to be winter season in their businesses. They don't anticipate it. They don't. They just sit down. And when the thing is coming and everything, oh, they use it and they show everybody we are doing well. They spend, they do bonanza. So when winter season comes, they start saying, God, why? I'll tell you a story. In the book of Genesis, a story of two nations. One nation doesn't know God. A hidden nation worships idols. They do not have the blessing. They are not part of the blessing. One other nation knows God, have the blessing. They are the sons of Jacob. The blessing of Abraham is on them. And there came a season there was famine. The nation that has the blessing on them had to leave their place and go to a nation, Egypt, that does not know God, so they won't die. Even though, I have to balance it, it is one of their sons that has the blessing. What's the secret? He told Pharaoh, there will be 7 years of plenty. Tell your neighbor, years of plenty. Say summer. Say harvest time. Say also anticipate years. The point is you won't lack. I didn't say the years of lack will be for you. There will be tough days out there. There will always be winter. One of the wisdom God has given me is that whenever things are moving and moving, He tells me, prepare for winter. Prepare for winter. Prepare for winter. So most people don't prepare for winter. There was going to be years of fatted calf. The business will be like a fatted calf. And there will be times and seasons. It might be months. It might be years. Where it seems as if things are not moving the way you want it to move. What's the difference? This man, who also is a son of and a carrier of the blessing, gave a solution. He said, listen, let's save 1/5, 20% of everything that comes in the years of plenty so we can take care of winter. That's I was telling people, I said for us to run 3 services, Wednesday service, Good Friday, and Sunday service, the diesel is in millions. The diesel to run this facility is in millions for just 3 services during this period. But nobody is shaking. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't. It's not, nobody's shaking. there is a structuring. You do. So when you hear, I do not lack. When you hear, I consistently increase. When you hear, there is no lack in my life. It doesn't mean that in experience, there won't be tough days. Did you hear me? It doesn't mean there won't be periods when it seems as if things are not moving. What it means is that wisdom has taught you what the ants know, that you don't need anybody to tell you. Anticipate winter seasons and prepare for it. Help me tell two or three people by your side. Anticipate winter seasons and prepare for it. Give God praise if you're getting it. So, to thrive in winter seasons, walk early and save wisely. To thrive in winter seasons, walk early and what? Save wisely. You must save wisely. You must save wisely. Proverbs chapter 21 verse 20, the Living Bible translation said, the wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he gets. The wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he gets. Write this down. To build wealth, you must make a habit of having money. That's where it begins. You are now earning money, but any money doesn't make you wealthy. Please keep earning. Increase the earning. Because when you increase the earning, the savings becomes more meaningful. It becomes more meaningful. But you first of all start with having money. To build wealth, you must make a habit of having money you can use to grow wealth. Money, you use money to grow wealth. So you must make sure that you're not the kind of person that is a spendthrift. That the moment money comes into your hands, it's already looking for ways for it to flow out. You must be a man who understands how to clip the wings of money and allocate purposes to that money. This is for this. This is for that. This is for this. It takes a whole lot of discipline. Now, keep writing. To have money, savings is the key. Savings is the key to have money. You must have money that you are going to use to grow money. But to have that money, savings is the key. It doesn't stop at savings, but the money you're going to now use to do the growing of that wealth must come through savings. Savings is the key to having money. And to effectively save, you must be frugal. I told you last Sunday that frugality is different from stinginess. A stingy person is a tight-fisted person. Nobody can become wealthy being tight-fisted. Never. You can't be. A stingy man is not just stingy to people. He's stingy to his future. One of the things that makes a lot of people afraid of investment is because they are stingy. They can't stand the idea that this thing they are holding will leave their hands. Because for you to grow wealth, you're going to that's what we're going to see in law 8. The 8th law is the law of financial multiplication, which is the law of investments. But you must save effectively to invest effectively. You must save effectively to invest effectively. Stingy people can't even save well and can't even invest well because they are always afraid. Every time money leaves their hands, they feel like something is leaving their life. It's only your hand they left. It didn't leave your life. So they hold tight to everything they have. They will rather protect the one in at hand than chase the possible 10 out there in the bush. No, that bird at hand is all they can. Let me hold it. At least I'm not losing it. Hold it. Be watching it. Look at your bank account every day. It is big. That's all they can do. What's frugality? Frugality simply is cutting off waste. That's it. Knowing what is very necessary, what is important, and what you can do without. And that when you have a financial plan, you have a financial vision, and you have a financial goal, that there are things in that moment you can do without, and nobody is going to die. So you begin to have money by earning more and spending less. These two must work together. You earn more, you increase your earnings, and you reduce your spendings. That's how it works. What most rich people do, that's the difference between the rich and the wealthy, is that they earn more, and as they earn more, they spend more. Because the focus of the rich man is to have what he didn't have when he was poor. So he's dreaming of this kind of car. He's dreaming of this kind of flat screens. He's dreaming of this kind of houses he's going to live in. He's dreaming of, and even when it's not yet time, everything has its time and season. They start spending for it. The first 20 million they make, they buy the Mercedes. Because that's what is important. He has to terrorize everybody and intimidate everybody and show that I'm a big boy now. So, for the rich, the more income increases, the more the necessity to spend it, what? The needs that call for it increases, rises up. So, as their money is increasing, what they call standard of living continues to increase. Say, nah, I can't, I'm no longer in this level. But the wealthy is different. For the wealthy is they continue to enhance their income. They continue to increase their income. And strategically, they continue to reduce. In this ministry corporately, from the day we started running it till today, as the income increases, the percentage that we use for recurrent expenditure reduces. The percentage we use for recurrent expenditure reduces. That's how we do it. That's how to build wealth. So, there is, these 2 years, you may not eat snacks. You may not drink any soda. Not because even of health reasons, so not even health reasons. Is health reason is beneficial to your health first, but it is an economic decision because you can do without it and you won't die. And by the time you gather all the money you're doing and using for that, there is this. I'm telling you. Sometimes you have to calculate. If I'm buying things retail prices, and if I buy in bulk, I will end up, for example, you know how long it takes you to use one soap. Is that right? Is that right? You know how. And there has never been a day you didn't use soap. You just poured water and came out. It's possible you have done it. Hello? So let's say, how long does a soap last you? Let's say for 1 week. It lasts more than that? How? You dey bath? The way we say it in Nigeria. Praise the Lord. Okay. Okay, let's look at it. Let's use 1 week. And that means you're going to use four. I'm just illustrating. Four soaps when? Four tablets of soap when? In a month. And in a year, you're going to use 52 weeks, right? And right now, you have money. You have it. To buy, you already know the soap you buy. To buy a carton of that soap. You have the money now. But you say, no, I can't buy it. Let me tell you how the rich thinks. The rich calculates the retail price of that soap. One. That he just goes to the shop and buy every time he finishes. And knows the price. And calculates the carton. And notices he's saving 7,000. He buys the carton. That's the rich. Did you get that now? Everywhere he can cut expenses, he is frugal. Every rich man has value for 1,000 naira. Every wealthy man. It's always the poor ones that say, is he not 1,000? I've seen people destroy certain things. I've told you a story of how we were doing a project and someone was very careless many years ago. Very, very careless. There are things in construction that are unavoidable. And you can know this is a genuine, sincere mistake. But there are things that are very, very avoidable. And so we had to break down and destroy a portion of something we were building. And then when I came, I inquired and I came to inspect the site. I inquired and looked at all the things that were happening. And that thing cost us a lot of money. The blocks, the rods, you can say, okay, they can reuse some of the rods that were taken out of it. The chippings, the cement, the sand, and the labor that was used for that plane. And when we calculated and estimated what it would be, it was running in hundreds of thousands, just a section, in hundreds of thousands. So I came, got into the car, brought out 50,000 bundle, a bundle of 50,000 from my bag, and I gave it to the person. And I said, take. I said, now, in front of me, begin to tear it into pieces. He said, Pastor. I said, tear that money into pieces. He said, no, sir. I said, tear it. I'm the one commanding. It's my money. Begin to tear. He couldn't. He held it and said, no, sir. No, sir. As if you don't need it, give me. I said, so you couldn't tear paper worth 50,000 into pieces, but you could destroy something worth hundreds of thousands. One thing about poor people is they lack value. Their sense of value is off. They lack a sense of value. They see the only thing they value is physical money. Cash. You're gonna be wealthy. You must, if you walk in where wealthy people are, and you talk to them about, you're talking about ideas. The moment you're talking about ideas, they are calculating immediately. And they are pitting what your idea against the value and the profitability. That's the way. And that's how they make a choice. That's how we make a choice. I'm telling you the truth. As you're talking, every time you say, I feel like, you're calling it feeling. He's calculating the amount. He thinks in values. It's not just calculating the amount in terms of liquidity. He's calculating the amount in terms of productivity and value. Because the problem is not the liquidity. It's not the cash. The problem is it worth this? Is the value worth this? That's how it works. Am I speaking to somebody? Wave your hands if you're here. Help me tell your neighbor, it is time to become frugal. Say, get into your lifestyle and look at things that are not necessary. Things you can live without. You know what Jesus said? A man's life does not consist of the abundance of his what? Possession. Tell your neighbor, go into your house. There are capitals lying all around. Check properties that are not necessary. Check things you can do without. So go and sell them. Cut off unnecessary things. No matter the amount of money you earn, you can always save. So write this down. The discipline, write it down fast. The discipline and habit to save is more important than how much you save. The discipline to cultivate the habit of saving is more important than how much you save. Start saving from where you are. I know there are some of you that say you are not earning enough, and that what you're earning is too small for what you need, basically, your basic needs. But you're lying to yourself. If you don't cultivate the habit of saving when is not enough, you won't be able to save when you have more than enough. It's a character thing. It's a habit you have to. I told you the history of our church. From the first month of our church, this is facts. I'm telling you the truth. 2003, June, our first income was 300 naira. That was when people used to give 5 naira in offerings. And we were very small. And we were all students. Are you understanding what I'm saying? 300 naira. I gave the tithe of 100 naira out. I brought out 100 naira and gave to the treasurer of the church then. And said, we didn't have an account. I said, go and put it in your account. And gave the person my own personal money for transportation. He said, Pastor, it will be embarrassing. 100. I said, go and put it. The person went to save it. From that day till this day, there is nothing. Just listen to what the Living Bible says. If you can just listen to the wisdom of God, he says, the foolish man spends whatever he gets. He didn't say the foolish man spends whatever he gets that is more than enough. Is whatever he gets, even if it's not enough. If you spend whatever you get because it's not enough, at the age of 70, you will end up being broke because it will never be enough. Your way out of not that thing not being enough is you better begin to save certain things that you're going to use to grow wealth out of that place. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now hear me, these are laws. You respect it, it works for you. You don't respect it, it doesn't work for you. You violate it, it works against you. Nobody can create serious wealth without practicing habitual savings. Savings is very important, but savings alone cannot make one very wealthy. Savings is very important, but savings alone cannot make one very wealthy. Even very high yielding savings, where you put money in high yielding or high interest yielding savings, no one earns enough through such things to outpace inflation. That's why you don't stop at savings. But Savings has a purpose. Savings gives you the money you need and the amount you need, bulk that you need, so you can do the necessary investments you need to make. Somebody say, I hear. Did you get that? Wave your hands if you're getting it. In savings, I want you to be very strategic. Look at Jesus. I want you to listen carefully. Look at Jesus in the parable, in the book of Luke, the parable of minas. He tells the parable of a man who was going to obtain a kingdom. And he gave minas, money, to different servants. And told them to do business until what? He comes. And one came. And when he returned, one came and said, out of what you gave me, 10 minas, I multiplied it to another 10. And he said, good and well done, good and faithful servants. Say, because you are faithful with this little, I now give you authority over 10 cities. So the territories you command is determined by your ability to manage money. Pastors, hear that. Businessmen, hear that. Professionals, hear that. The territories you're going to command will be determined by your ability to manage money. How to handle money. If you cannot handle money, you can't handle the greater things of life. So he says, I give you. And then another one came and said, you gave me 5, I made 5. And he said, I give you authority over 5 cities. And then one came and said, I know you to be a mean man. Every time you always want to get profit out of what you didn't invest. So I just didn't want to lose your money. I dug it and kept it. See the money you gave me. And he gave it back to him. Thank you for putting that. I want you to see verse 21 because I'm wrapping up this. So I want you to see verse 21. Everybody read. One, two, go. You collect what you did not what? Deposit. And reap. Verse 22. Continue reading with me. One, two, go. And he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you. You wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Verse 23. Everybody read. Want to go? Why then did you not put my money in? In what? At my coming, I might have collected it with what? Somebody shout wisdom. In savings, don't just save money. Investigate every deal you're going to do with a bank. Investigate different banks and find the best high yielding interest accounts you can use. Never just save. As you're saving, even though savings alone and the interest on it alone will not make you rich, but make sure that as you're saving, that the interest on what you're saving is more than what they are collecting to maintain your account. All the stamp duties and all those things. In all you're doing, don't lose money. You hear what I said? Wave your hands if you're telling me. I'm giving you a gift now. I hope you're hearing me. How many of you are going to be doing due diligence? Are you going to do due diligence? Go through, look at everything and know where you're saving your money. Okay? And another advice is don't save all your money in one bank. What did I say? Don't what? I'm going to give you the basics of saving. Saving 101 for starters. There are 3 kinds of savings you must have and you should have. Number 1 is posterity savings. posterity savings. That's number one. This one is the one that you use to save for your old age and to save for legacy. These savings must be where you have the best security and the lowest of risk, so it doesn't give you a lot of income. Now, it's also supposed to be the lowest part of your savings. Did you hear what I said? But you must be putting them in out there. Some people use what they call pension funds. Some people for legacy funds. For example, you give birth to children. As they are born, you open up a trust for them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are things you can do that way. You do your trust funds. You do your pension funds. Some people like retirement. Whatever it is. It should be the least of your savings because you don't touch it. And it should be where you have the best securities and lowest risk. That's the first thing I'm going to advise you. The second kind of savings you do, what is that? You are numbering your days and you are applying your heart to wisdom. You know that there is coming a time. Number two, short-term investment savings. Short-term investment savings. This one, you save within a period of time. Any money that enters those savings accounts can never be used for anything else except to make investments. The only person that can collect that money is also an investment. It's when the Holy Spirit tells you to go and make an investment spiritually as a sacrifice. There are certain seasons of your life and times of your life that the Spirit of the Lord will lead you to bleed and make certain kinds of sacrifices to give. And only the Holy Spirit moves you to do that. When He does that, that's the only, because that also is investment. Because if genuinely it is God, it comes back to you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Wave your hands if you're getting me. So you use that for your investments. And there are about 7 major classes of investment the wealthy invest in. About 7 major classes. We are going to talk about that later, but not here. So you go and study. Today I'm not going to be talking about investment. I will introduce it, but I'm not going to talk about it. Next Sunday will be for investments. So look at that. You work on that. That's where most of your savings, the highest level and percentage of your savings enter. Did you hear what I said? Wave your hands, you're getting me. Are you sure? Now, some of you might say, Pastor, why don't I invest everything? Why must I bring out this small portion for pension? When I get to investments, you know. You don't put all your... In investments, there are 3 classes you must have. You must have high-risk investment, mid-risk investment, and low-risk. If you're wiser than wisdom, you go see you later. No matter how a field is giving you money and how it's meant, you know, there are some places you begin to put money in and it's as if it's money printing machine. No matter how, be disciplined enough not to put all your eggs there. Is it not more than money you are multiplying? You will keep multiplying. You see, if you conquer greed and you conquer avarice, inordinate passion for profit, inordinate, if you conquer it, you are going to be a very wealthy man. If you don't, you're going to get yourself into trouble. The day it hits, you'll be very... That's another thing I advise people. I was telling the person, I said, listen, the reason why you... you're having fever this period is that most of all the things you have are in that one field that is now stalling. The economic system is shaking that field. So it's shaking you because you carried all your eggs and put where? In one basket. That's what you don't do. I'm not giving you my opinions. This wisdom, I'm teaching you the things that God taught me, and He still, I'm learning and growing on. Your highest percentage of savings is for investments. Then the third kinds of savings you must have, oh, thank you, Lord, is bulk project savings. Bulk project savings. Give me Proverbs 20:21, the GNT. Everybody read. One to go. I'm not hearing you. Shut. Is high risk and mid risk. High risk and mid risk. The higher the risk, the higher the returns. But also the higher the accidents and crisis. It's high risk. So sometimes it works very well. Sometimes it shakes you. Sometimes it cleans you out. That's one thing. So to live in wealth, you must know distance. But the third one helps you live in luxury is bulk project. Let me bring it basic. Let me not talk to people that are already making a lot of money. Let me talk to so many of us who are young and up and coming. Listen carefully. There are people today that if they go back and work on their spendings and cut out some things, by the end of this year, they will have washing machines, they will have ACs, they will have solar powered inverters in their system, and they will have a better lifestyle by the end of this year. They chop them for money, they use them for hangout. So people that don't have good cars, how can you be earning 400,000 in profit in business, and for the past the next 5 years you've been doing this thing for 3 years, you don't have a car? And I'm not talking about luxury car, functional car, four plugs, that moves you into different places. That certain times when you come into the conversation and you come into certain rooms, you are taking more seriously. That there are contracts that cannot be given to you. When you come into the contract and you boarded, you highlighted, you came off Okada or Keke, you can get small decent cars. And there are a lot of Chinese cars and Japanese cars that you can get as a particular money. The problem is that you're not saving for projects. There are even people today, if they you go to their sitting room, they don't have a decent sitting room. Somebody comes to see you. You see, there is a dimension of favor that comes out of pity. There is another dimension of favor that comes out of honor. The one that comes out of pity is for the poor people. The ones that make you rich is for the one that comes out of honor. Every time you appear poor, you're helped out of pity. Every time you appear serious, decent, and comfortable, you're honored. And that's what makes you rich. You don't have a decent sitting room. You don't have it. A decent sitting room. Certain levels of luxury. Because every single morning, you have not been able to save 30,000 for 10 times. And it mustn't be 10 months. It can be a weekly. 10 times to have 300,000 to have a washing machine. You have not. Every day you're outside. Oh, what happened, darling, darling? And you think that's life. There is nothing godly about suffering. You only think godly, only suffering that is godly is when you suffer for three major things. For Christ's sake, for the gospel's sake, and for the righteousness. That's the one that has blessing. Blessing that is attached to it. Any other kind of suffering, Jesus did not give you. Rather, he suffered for you to deliver you from that one. There are people that want a better life, to enrich. Some of you want to be traveling. You want to expose yourself better. Each year, you should have at least, you want to say, okay, when I get to this point, those is the bulk savings you do. There should be a place. Now, let me advise you. All kinds of savings must yield interest. Savings is lowest form of what? Investment. Did you get that? Write this down and we'll close. So that box savings is for education, for housing, for vehicles, luxury, holidays, all those things. You want to live in luxury, you have to have that. 8th law, I will introduce it, then next Sunday we will do it. A law of financial multiplication and investments. This is where the men are separated from the boys. We will stop here. God bless you. Are you blessed? Are you blessed? Then give God a mighty praise. Stand on your feet. What I'm about to tell you to do, take it very seriously. Close your eyes. I'm praying the Spirit with fire. There is the wisdom of men and there is the wisdom of God. This thing is not today that you're hearing it for the first time. Something has to be stirred up. This time, wisdom must work. There must be a difference. Nobody here is going back to the old ways. Going back to wastefulness. Going back to fear. You're here, you're married. Call a financial summit for you and your wife and your children. There must be a meeting. What are we spending in this house? How much is coming in? How much are we spending? What can we do? How can we cut off waste? How can we save more? Something must be different. Pray in the spirit. You're stirring up the wisdom of God. You're stirring up the wisdom of God. You're stirring up the wisdom of God. Libre karo shagata. Libre getoya galabahata. There is an empowerment. Those of you that have been finding it very difficult to be disciplined to save, those of you that have been struggling with a spendthrift syndrome, in the name of Jesus, by the anointing of God's Spirit, it is broken. It is broken. It is broken. The grace of God is enabling you. The grace of God is enabling you. What was a struggle will now begin to come to you easily. Will now begin to come to you easily. In the name of Jesus, wisdom is strengthening your heart. Lebo sagata, lebra di sotaya, lebra nekatosh, imalotaya, libregetosika yakata. We give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Lift your two hands. May the Lord God, whom I serve, by His grace, at work in us, make you and I the manifestation of this wisdom. When God wants to explain His wisdom to men on how to build wealth godly, in a godly manner, God will introduce you to them. Your life be a living episode that people read. Lift your two hands. Declare after me. Say, in the name of Jesus, my life will never lack evidence that I am blessed, that I'm anointed to build wealth, that I am wise by the wisdom of God. In the name of Jesus, abundance is mine, increase is my portion. Thank you, Father. Give him a mighty praise. Bring out your tithes, your offerings, your partnerships. For those of you who may be coming newly, I always say that